This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Today is a big day in the history of music. A century ago, at La Scala in Milan, an abandoned young woman took the stage and prayed for her lover's return. Madame Butterfly is Puccini's most famous heroine. Her story, set in Japan around 1900, is a tragic one of innocence betrayed. But NPR's Ketzel Levine discovers Madame Butterfly triumphs through an immortal musical score.
Let's start at the beginning. At the turn of the last century, Giacomo Puccini went to London looking for a good story. A play had just opened. It was called Madame Butterfly, a sad tale of a callous American officer and a vulnerable Japanese girl. It took a while for Puccini to get the rights to the story, and a debilitating accident slowed his writing down. But by 1904, the fatal attraction was set to music, overlooking a harbor in Nagasaki. The opera, in two acts, contained a world of characters and one luminous star.
Madame Butterfly sits on its title character the way very few other operas do. It's all about her.
Author Will Berger is writing a book about Puccini.
When you come right down to whether or not you've seen a good performance and, you know, oh, the tenor was this and that, and the production was this and that, it really comes down to how did she do? So Puccini, who knew the human voice like very few other people who have ever lived, who knew what it could portray and couldn't, really stretched himself to the limits with this role. And the role is a holy terror. Holy terror.
The key for Puccini is love. Great, passionate, big love.
The key to Madame Butterfly is a resplendent soprano with grit and transcendent grace, all possessed by arguably the most celebrated butterfly of her generation, Renata Scotto. Madame Scotto first performed Butterfly in the 1950s. She was then just a few years older than the character she portrayed, a besotted teenager who leaps into marriage with the wrong man.
Probably the tragedy wouldn't survive today if there was not Puccini music. The Puccini music get to your heart so strongly from the first moment that Butterfly goes on stage. She's the most positive mind in the world. I mean, she's there to believe that her life is going to be better.
Love me a little, Butterfly sings to Benjamin Franklin Pinkerton. Love me just a very little, and that's about all she gets. The Cavalier Lieutenant is not long for the marriage. When his tour of duty's over, he will leave her high and dry. Author Will Berger.
That tenor's a loser, though, in this opera, let me tell you. He's not a hero.
A loser? Do I understand the word well? A loser?
It's hard to imagine Placido Domingo, the world's most beloved tenor, playing a cad. Alas, it comes with the role. Maestro Domingo, who just last month conducted Madame Butterfly at the Met, has performed the unlikable Pinkerton many times during his singing career.
It was very difficult. I tried always to find something positive in every character I perform. And I tried, the only thing that I tried is that he was truthful at the moment in the love duet to her. Let me kiss your lips, let me kiss your hands. You are beautiful, and he says everything to her that a man will say to a woman when he likes her, you know. He's not making any promises. The only thing is, for him, it's just an adventure.
The insensitive soldier, the guileless beauty. The stereotypes blow like paper parasols across this stage. Add chauvinism, sexism, ribald racism, and there's something to offend everyone in the opera, all exposed in one fell swoop in the 1993 film M. Butterfly.
I beg your pardon?
It's one of your favorite fantasies, isn't it? The submissive Oriental woman and the cruel white man.
It's the cruel white man who falls the hardest in M. Butterfly, a film which began life as a play. Its author, David Henry Hwang, is not what you'd call sentimental about the original story. Do you like Madame Butterfly? The woman, not the opera.
It's hard to like her. She doesn't actually seem particularly bright.
Long before he knew the opera, David Henry Hwang knew the cultural stereotype. He says he grew up around women who were often pulling butterflies. So when someone was pulling a butterfly, she was acting the victim?
She was living up to this notion of the Asian woman as sort of submissive and fragile and self-sacrificing, which can be an effective way to be attractive to the opposite sex.
Act 2, Scene 2, Handkerchiefs at the Ready. 3 years have passed since Lieutenant Pinkerton abandoned his butterfly. Today he returns with his new American wife. Butterfly takes the news bravely. Yes, she tells Kate Pinkerton, you can have my blue-eyed child, the son I conceived with your husband. She then disappears behind a screen, picks up a dagger, and takes her own life. 100 years and countless death scenes later, the question to Puccini expert Will Berger is this: victim or victor?
You know, in opera, suicide is a victory. It's a moral triumph. That's true sometimes of movies and plays and books, but it's really uniquely true in opera. So it's somebody, the journey of Butterfly is somebody who's been crushed and stepped on and spit on and God knows what her whole life, who finally at the end makes a sort of statement of identity and self-worth. In her case, it's a suicide.
So you don't see her as a victim?
No. Absolutely, I don't see her a victim.
After half a century in her company, soprano Renata Scotto is perhaps closer to Butterfly than any woman alive.
She gives up her life for a future. So she will live. She will live in the life of a child.
It's hard not to wish a happier ending for the tragic young woman, a few good friends to see her through the crisis, a society that would celebrate rather than subjugate her iron will. But had Madame Butterfly lived, Puccini might never have loved her, and we might have never known her name. Ketzel Levine, NPR News.
Additional reflections on Madame Butterfly from Renato Scotto and Placido Domingo are at npr.org.